But yeah, definitely. It was a challenging morning, but we're here and I'm excited about being here. There's no children here to pray for. They're downstairs? Okay. So, we're going to read a lot. Do we have to read, like, you know, a passage and then pray? And no. So why don't we pray and ask God for guidance? I don't know how to communicate what I want to communicate, but I will depend on the Holy Spirit to help me. And I think there is a message for every one of us here today, and me personally. And I struggled with this a lot, and I was trying to get away from it and try to get something else, but I just felt like God kept pointing to this. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for being here. We thank you for loving us so much that no matter we can think or imagine or try, we know that you love us a lot more than that, Lord. We thank you for your love that you showed us on the cross, that you didn't just tell us, but you did for us, Lord. I pray that today, this morning, Lord, would be a new morning, new beginning, as Delio was saying, that every day with you will be that new beginning. Experience something new from you, Lord. I pray that you would, communicate to every one of us, Lord. Lord, you know that I can't. You know that I don't know how, but you do know how and you can. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to go through a very loved story in the Word of God. I was looking here and... very loved story that we all know, and the story of David and Goliath. But when I was reading that chapter, I felt like, I've been reading it for the last couple of weeks, and then I felt like it's not really about David and Goliath. It started with something completely different. So I wanna go through a couple of verses here. So I'm gonna start reading from Samuel 17, the first verse. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered to Sukkah, which belongs to Judea. They encamped between Sukkah and Azekiah, I guess. And then verse 2, it says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah." So the Palestinians and the Israelites were about to get in a fight. But the Palestinians were already in the land of Judah. So they were standing in one mountain, and the people of God were standing in the other mountain. And then we read, and then we hear about Goliath. He comes out, and he starts talking trash to the people of God and tell them, "Come, I want one of you to come and fight me." And I guess back in the days, you could have settled the war that way, but you didn't have to. And when the people of Israel saw him, they were freaked out. And then the Bible starts talking about something completely different. In verse 17, "Now Jesse," David's dad, "said to his son David, 'Take ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing. Bring me back some good news.'" And this is when we start hearing about David in this situation. And reading the whole chapter, our eyes used to skip all the way down to the fight between David and Goliath. But before the battle of David and Goliath, David had to battle so many other things. Throughout the chapter, he had to battle so many other things. And it brought to me, I'm like, how come for all these years I've been waiting to overcome my Goliath? And I feel like I skipped a few steps. That's why when I come in front of Goliath, I am not really in true strength, or I don't really know how to battle him, because I have skipped a few steps. There is a lot of process here. There is a long process that we have to walk through to be able to come in front of Goliath and see the true picture. And we might talk about David and Goliath at the end, seriously, but in the beginning, it starts with the battle of David and who? And himself. The battle between David and David. David was so comfortable, was so good at what he did, that it was so hard for him to leave whatever he was doing, being a shepherd, playing on the guitar, taking care of his sheep that he loved so much. Because reading the Word of God, you know that he protected those sheep with everything he had. When a lion is coming his way to take one of those sheep, if that was me, take him. I don't care, take all of them. I'm not going to fight a lion for a sheep. Let me just tell you. I'm not going to fight a bear for a sheep. You can take the whole thing. You know, but he loved it so much. This is where he spent his quality time with God. This was his comfortable place. And God is saying, instead of being a shepherd today, I want you to be a messenger. I want you to be a delivery boy. He's just going to take some food. Okay? Get on your little motorcycle or get on your little car with that pizza sign and just go deliver something to your brothers and sisters and the army of God today. David, can you do that? Can you leave your comfort zone? Can you leave your comfortable place? Can you leave the thing you love and enjoy? Can we change your life around a little bit? Maybe change it a lot bit, not just a little bit. How about some water in your boat? How about no boat at all? How about you step out and walk with me? How about you have the children, Job, you have the children, you have the possessions, you have the land, you have the homes, you have everything. How about we take away just the fields and the homes and a couple of things. How about we take your children? How about take your family? How about we give you some disease? How about we get you out of that comfort zone, that beautiful life you had, that name you had for yourself, for everyone but was blessed by you? How about we change things a little bit? If this is what you're going through, and if this is what I'm going through, I have good news for you. This is just the beginning for a huge, huge giant that you're about to slay. It is a must. It is a must that we start taking that first step of faith with God. It is that first step where we leave something good that we're doing. It's not bad that way what he was doing. He was faithful at it. He was good at it. He was amazing. He was doing everything that he was supposed to do. It's not because you're bad, I'm taking you out of it. It's not because your time here, I feel like there's someone better. No, it's because there's something better for you. Something more that you can do. Be something that only you can do. David, I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. Can you do it? Can you overcome yourself today? Can you overcome yourself today and say, Lord, I trust you. If you're going to take me out of this and have another place for me today, I trust you with that. I trust you that you're taking me to the right destination. I know. I get excited sometimes. That journey was not a short journey by any means. From where he was to where he's going to go, it's about 10 to 15 miles, and it's on an uphill journey. It's not a short journey, but that journey is very necessary as well. Every time you look, when you start and you see that huge mountain that you're about to climb and you get discouraged, just know this is the place where God wants you to be. It's long. It's not even. It's hard. It's hot. It is unbearable. But this is where God wants you to be. So every time you feel like your legs are getting a little shaky, just remember, this is the place where God wants you to be. Just remember that this is the place where you're going to deliver salvation for so, so many. That this is where God is going to use you in a way that's going to be heard all over generations, all over the world. This is the place where God wants you to be. And I have some news. I don't know if you're going to think it's good or bad, but God doesn't set the destination. Okay, that journey. God doesn't set it based on what you think your strength is. Because you might think, I can do much more than that. Or you might think, I can't do it at all. And in the Bible, it's full of those examples. But God sets that journey based on your destiny. David's destiny that day to be in that place. David's destiny to be there and to watch what's happening and for God to speak to him. God has been preparing him for so long for that moment. All these years, all these nights, all these days, all these hot days or all these cold nights, shepherding, he's been preparing him. He has been taking him because he's preparing for that journey. So once he gets there, he knows and he trusts in who God is. The journey is not easy. And I'll be lying to you if I tell you it's easy. I think everyone in this room can tell you that. I went through it many times. And I'm still going through it in many different ways. And every time I'm like, I'm tired. I can't go any longer. And I feel like, you know what? No. If I can't go any longer, maybe it's time for him to carry me. Maybe it's time for my brothers or sisters to carry me. Maybe it's time for me to come humbly before someone and say, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm beat up. I need help. Many of the people of God came to that. And when they came to that conclusion that, okay, when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you need to renew your strength, you just wait on the Lord. You come to the Lord and say, I can't keep going. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. That's all I have to say about this. Keep climbing. Because I am the one that's carrying these legs for now. Just keep climbing. And when you can't climb, ask Him to help you climb. If you look at Joseph, he was climbing his mountain for about 13 years. But it was necessary because there is life. There is life at the end of it. If you look at Abraham, he was climbing his mountain for so long, but it was necessary for him. Because God wanted to make him the father of all faith, or like the father of all believers. The guy had to spend that long without a child. So when God calls that child, it would be easy for him to give him that child. If you look at Noah, he had to climb his mountain for what? Like 100 years or something? People laughing at him, people making fun of him, but he had to climb that mountain. If you look at our Lord and Savior, he had to climb a huge mountain for you and for me. He had to go up that mountain. He had to go and carry his cross. He had to go willingly to pay for something that he's never done. But that was his mountain to climb. And at the end of it, there was salvation and life for all of us. There's another battle once he got there. That battle is not, it's no longer between him and himself. It's him and that giant that's waiting for him. But that giant didn't just come. Just, it wasn't an accident. He's been preparing for this. He's been taking it to one city at a time. That giant is trained. That giant knows what he's doing. And here's the problem. The people of Israel kept running away from that giant. The people of Israel saw how big he is, how strong he is, how well-trained he is, and they kept running away from him. David came, he just after 2 days or 3 days journey, he's just about to sit the stuff, to give the stuff to his brothers, and guess what he sees? He sees his destiny. He sees his calling. He sees that giant, but instead of running away from him, just like the rest of the people, he decided to face that giant. Who is that giant? Who is he? Who is he? Who is that little guy that comes and talks trash to the people of God and come and defy the name of the Lord? The people of Israel have been running away. The soldiers have been running away from that giant. And here I want you guys to pay attention with me. Just for a few minutes, because it might get a little touchy. Okay? Let's just say, it might get a little touchy. But just know that it's all coming from love, I think. So, he came up, Goliath comes out, and David is asking, why is this happening? Why are you guys running away from him? Well, the people of Israel has been looking for a man for so long. The word of God in James, it says, submit yourself to God, and what will happen? The devil will flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee. But first you have to do what? Submit yourself to God. See, what happened, if you go a little bit earlier in 1 Samuel 8, the people of God stopped, or the people of Israel stopped submitting themselves to God. They came to Samuel and said, why don't we have a king, just like all the other nations? We want a king to go before us. We want a king that, you know, he will go before us in wars, that he will govern us, and he will be the one that we will listen to. And God, and Samuel went to God and said, Lord, they want this. And God said, it's not about you. This is about me. It doesn't mean that they stopped loving you. They stopped loving me. They stopped depending on me. They don't want me any longer. But Lord, at that time, I want you to pay attention here, okay? Because this was kind of, you know, exciting in a way. At that time, there were two judges in Israel, Samuel's sons. Were they good judges? They were horrible. Horrible. So instead of the people of Israel coming to God, repenting, and asking for God to raise someone from among them, instead of coming and trying to repent and ask God for guidance, guess what they do? They go in deeper by choosing someone based on their own desires and beliefs. In a couple of days, we're going to have election, right? And we're not, don't worry, I'm not going to talk about election. I'm going to be very politically correct. But here's the thing. When the church had a big problem thinking that the president is the one that's going to bring us closer to God or enforce the laws. Okay? Right here is very, very close to that. Okay? I'm okay. Go ahead and vote for president. I'm going to vote. Everyone should vote, by the way. But the king still is the one above. But God is still the king for me. This is when we need to worry. When you and I stop making him the king of our lives. This is when we need to worry. When our church is no longer following God. This is when we need to worry. When our community is no longer believing in God and we stop doing our job as Christians and we distance ourselves from the community. This is when we need to worry. So Samuel goes to them and he tells them, if you select a king and you put all your trust in that king, he will take your daughters, he will take your sons, he will take your land, he will tax you, he will do this and this and this and this. Guess what they say? Just like all the other nations, we want a king to go ahead of us. The nation of Israel stopped submitting themselves to God to be able to resist the enemy. Where was your king when I led you out of Egypt? Where was your king when the walls of Jericho trembled before you? Where was your king when you were lost 4 years in the wilderness? Where was your king? Did you have a king at the time? You didn't have something. You didn't have a king. You had me. They kept running away from the giant. They kept running away from the enemy because they don't have God on their side anymore. Not because they didn't want to, because they chose to. They chose to. But one man in the whole nation was able to make a difference. One man. How many of us here? A lot more than one man, right? We can make a difference. We can bring God back to our communities. We can bring God back to our society. I don't care who's going to be selected president in a couple of days. I really don't care. But what I do care about is, are we still following the king or not? Are we still submitting ourselves, our hearts, our homes, our businesses, our lives to God or not? That's the question we need to answer. Because that's the only way we can face our giant. That's the only way we can take our land back. That's the only way we can take our homes and lives and families back. Wow. Anyone get offended? Okay, I'm glad. I was not trying to. And then comes the battle of distraction. Started with his brothers. And it ended with Saul. Started with his brothers. What are you doing here? I know your evil heart. You know, you're coming here to just watch the war. Let me read it to you. And it's in verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come here? Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your evil heart, for you have come to just watch the battle. He didn't come to watch the battle. I'm not coming to watch the battle. And the day we become watchers of the battle, this is the day you guys need to worry. We're coming to be in the battle. I am not going to work. I am not going to school. I'm not dropping my son off to basketball games or practices. We're not doing this just to watch. I'm here to make a difference. I am here to serve the destiny that God has set before me. He can say whatever he wants. And I'm not upset with him. I'm not upset with him. He's been there 40 days, 40 nights. He is beat up. He is hearing trash talking. He's hearing, you know, horrible things about him, about his army, about his town, about his land, about his God. He's hearing all these horrible things. He is not in his right mind. And this is why the father went to give him some food and make sure he's okay. Don't be upset with the older brother, because I have made that mistake. Instead of focusing on our true enemy, we'll focus on each other and see what he said about me or what she said about me or what this person is doing or what that person is doing. No, there is no time for that right now. Right now, there is a huge giant that's taking all over all of our lives. And our job is to fight him together, not to fight against each other. This is something missing from our church. And I'm not talking about the local church. I'm talking about church in general. I have the best beliefs. Your beliefs are horrible. Your traditions are this or that. Stop name calling. Stop name calling. He could be going through something bad. He could be going through something that we don't know. Whatever it is, we just need to come with him, not against him. But it is distraction. It is also distraction when all the people around them, oh man, I wish we have someone. I wish we have someone that can just go before us right now and kill that man. Oh, so Israel can be honorable again? So the people of it, so we can take our land back? No. So he can take the king's daughter, so he doesn't have to pay taxes anymore. So his family will be free, don't have to pay taxes. And that was one of the things that the king does. And that's one of the things that Samuel told the people of Israel. If you choose a king, you'll have to pay taxes to him. Right? And they chose it. They said, yeah, you're free. No, we don't want that. You don't have to pay taxes to anyone. No, but we want to. This is a picture of someone who lost his track with God. The battle with his brothers, and then the battle with the people around him, and then it comes the battle with Saul. Saul was saying to him, "You're a boy. You can't fight him. You're a boy." And this man is a warrior. He's been fighting since the day of his, since he was youth, your age. And David tells him what he's gone through. David tells him that, "I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what I look like to you. This is not my fight. This is the Lord's fight. This man didn't defy me and my family. He defied the Lord Almighty. His problem is not with me. His problem is with the Lord. And I am here just to deliver God's message to him. I'm just here to deliver God's justice to him." But Saul doesn't see that. You know why? Because Saul was loved, was selected, was special to all of the people of Israel because of his height, because of his strength, because he was the good-looking one. So when he sees someone who's bigger than him, but stronger than him, guess what he does? Oh, I am nothing anymore. Because all of his power was in his what? His appearance. But does God look at appearance? When God sent Samuel to the people, to Jesse, he told them, "Bring all of your children." How many did he bring? 7, right? And one by one, they go before Samuel, and Samuel, "Nope, that's not the one that God chose. That's not the one God chose." And his dad was like, Jesse's like, "I don't know, that's all I have." And Samuel was like, "Are you sure you don't have anyone else?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I got one more. I have one more," but he's like, he's a little boy. And he brings them by. And Samuel's like, Lord, how can you pass on Eliab? He's also like a strong, good-looking guy. How can you pass on that? And God tells him, "I don't look at the outside. I don't look at the appearance. I look at the heart." Saul was going with what he knows best, and that's to look at the outside. not at the inside. David looks at what he knows best. He looks at God. And remember that mountain that he had to climb? What is Goliath? What is Goliath to that mountain? I know Goliath might be a huge monster to you and to me. But how about that? When you put Goliath about 10 miles away, next to that mountain, he would seem so small. And David climbed that mountain. David was able to get up that mountain. He saw that if he was able to conquer that mountain, he can conquer Goliath. Because who helped him at the first place? Then there's another battle with Saul. And that's for David to stay true to who he is. And this is something that I think is very important for us as a church and for us as believers. I'll read you the verse. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. And here's the surprise. So the King Saul, so David comes to him, I'm going to go fight this guy. And he tells him, you know, you're a child, you can't do it. David tells him, I killed the bear, I killed the lion, and this guy is just going to be like one of them. This is easy money, okay? Free lunch. So he tells him, okay, I'll let you go. Let me put my armor on you. Let me empower you with my goodness. Let me give you my helmet because it's well made. Let me set you up in a way that I know if you do this, you will succeed, since you insist. And also, he wanted to be a part of it. You know, he wanted to be a part of that victory. Just in case, you know, the odds are really bad. If you call Vegas, you'll know that the odds are like 1 to 1 million. So I would not put any bets on David at that moment, right? But he was like, just in case, you never know, he might hit a lucky shot or something. So just wear mine. And David, I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. These three or four words, I'm not used to them, probably, to me, were harder than actually going to face Goliath. Because here he is, the king is giving you his own uniform. The king of the land is giving you his own uniform in a battle that you don't know what's going to happen to you. You need any kind of protection that you need or you could have. And you're saying no to it? Yeah, I'm saying no to it because I'm not used to it. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to be the person God intended me to be. I'm not ashamed of being a shepherd. I'm not ashamed of being a fisherman. I'm not ashamed of being I'm not ashamed of that. It's about where God is going to take me. That's what I'm trying to focus on. For David to wear that uniform, Saul had to strip him from who he is. You take that uniform of a shepherd off, and I'm going to give you what will work for you. That's not going to work. Because the victory is not coming with your sword. The victory is not coming from your helmet. The victory is not coming from your protection or shield. That's not where the victory is coming from. The victory is coming from God himself. And he's going to use me the way I am. You know, a lot of times we try to push our Christianity or try to modify our Christianity to fit other people or to fit the world. And this is the biggest mistake we make. I don't need to modify my Christianity. I don't need to modify my beliefs. My beliefs are what they are. Worked in the past, they will work in the future, and they will work right now. I don't need your sword. I don't need your helmet. I don't need anything you're offering because I have already everything I need. David said no to the king. He said no to the king. And that was very brave, but said yes to that king. He said no to Saul, and he said yes to God. I'm going to go the way I am. And then he goes to Goliath, and we all know the story. I'm just going to mention two things really quick from that story. David took 5 stones, right? And I'm not going to tell you the usual. David took 5 stones because Goliath had 5 brothers. I'm not sure how people came up with that. I have no idea. I'm not saying it's wrong. I really don't know. I just have a different translation for it. That it might not work the first time. The first stone might not work. The second might not work. I'm going to keep trying. And that's okay. I don't get it right the first time. And if you're a man, you don't get it right the first time, whatever it is you're doing. And look at them all happy now. I don't get it. I don't usually get it right the first time. I don't. But you know what? There is a second time. There's a third time. He picked up 5 stones and he took them and he's going to try. You know, he's going to go first one, second one, third one. But it happened that he got it the first time. One of my first, the first verse I start my day with every single day. Every single day. I have it as my alarm. Okay, it's in Micah 7:10. And my enemy, okay, who gloated over me, will see and will be covered with shame. The one who asked me, where is the Lord your God? And that comes where? That comes after Micah 7:8, that do not gloat over me, my enemy. If I stumble or if I fall, I will get up. If I sit in the darkness, the Lord is my light. And then when she will see that, when the enemy sees that and asks me, where is your God? So I wake up in the morning reading that and I say, this is my God. You want to know about him? This is my God. Remember when I stumbled yesterday? He helped me out. And today if I stumble, he's going to help me out. Today if there is fear, he's going to take that fear. This is my God. Those 5 stones were not, I believe, were just in case I missed the first or the second or the third. And then finally, we hear about this man, Goliath. We hear about his uniform that was about 300 pounds of equipment, right? Not just that, but he had someone that carried that shield for him, right? What happened to that shield? What happened to the man that was carrying the shield? What happened to the equipment that he had? And I'm sure it was very well made, the best equipment you can find. What happened to all of that? It's gone. Did it help him? Not at all. As if he was wearing nothing. And this is where David keeps singing and singing and singing. And when he's tired of singing, he sings some more about God being his what? His protection, his fortress. God being his hiding place. God being his everything. He saw it with his own eyes when he was a little child, that this massive man with the muscles, with the equipments, with everything, none of that helped him. None of that helped him. If that did not help Goliath, I hope that we can come to the conclusion as a church or as individuals that nothing in this world can offer us protection. Not our bank accounts, not our jobs, not our relationships, none of that can offer us the protection. There are many battles that he had to battle to get to Goliath. And when he finally stood before him, who was panicking? Who was panicking, David or Goliath? Goliath was panicking. He is the one that... What is this? Am I a dog that you're coming to fight me with this little... He's panicking. And David is just so calm and collected and like, easy. I'm just going to kill you nice and easy, okay? So don't freak out. This is your day. This is your moment. The man that was freaking out, the man that was freaking out a whole nation, standing freaking out because of a man who obeyed God. Don't tell me that you don't have power. Don't tell me that you don't have strength. You have power. You have strength. You can make this whole nation flip upside down. That's what they said about the disciples. Those who changed the world upside down came among us. You know, David had 3 other brothers that could have gone to that journey. And I don't know if their dad asked them or not. But I know that he was chosen to go to that journey. I know that he was chosen to meet up on that mountain. I know he was chosen to do that, but it took him obedience to do it. Today we have the same exact opportunity. We have the same exact opportunity to step out of our comfort zone from what we know best, for what we do best, from forgetting our past, from forgetting all of our victories. Today we have that same opportunity. Today we have the same opportunity to climb that mountain. It's a matter of whether we want to or not. I wonder how many victories we missed out on because we decided to stay back. I wonder how much trouble we got ourselves in because we decided to stay back. I know a guy who got himself in a lot of trouble because his army was supposed to go fighting and he decided to stay back. Who is that?
David.
He was supposed to go fight and he decided to stay back. And you guys know the rest of the story. Let's not take a step back by wanting or giving the right to ourselves to rest. If God says go, it is time to go. If God is saying let's do this, you can do it, trust Him. Don't trust your ability or trust yourself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning because You don't look at the outside. You don't look at our abilities or strength, but You look at what You can do with our inability and weakness. For when I am weak, I know I'm strong because You give that strength. Lord, just like You obeyed, and with Your obedience, You gave life to all humanity, I pray that we would learn. We start exercising obedience. That when You say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That I would say, here I am, Lord. Lord, help us climb those mountains that we have. Because we know at the end of the mountain, we will find our destiny. Help us climb those mountains with obedience. And when we feel tired or weary, that we would lean on You. I thank You because You never leave us go alone. Lord, help us to say with David, I have set the Lord before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Lord, help us to get up that mountain where we have that true relationship with You. Where we can face every giant that comes across. Every giant comes our way, we wouldn't run away from that, but we would face him, submitting ourselves to You first. Lord, we choose You today. We choose You as a Lord and God on our lives and our families, our churches. Lord, we're not worried about what will happen in a couple of weeks, or whoever is going to be elected. We're not worried about that. Our only worry is that we stay connected to You. Our only fight is to be with You and to fight for having a place in Your army. Lord, I thank You for every piece of land that we will capture back. I thank You for every victory that You are going to give to Your people. Just take a few moments. And bring before God every giant you have. If it's sin, if it's a worry, if it's fear, it's going to keep coming. Just like Goliath kept coming for 40 days, it's going to keep coming. So why don't we bring it before God right now? Ask Him to deal with it. Ask Him to deal with that addiction that you have. Ask Him to deal with that history that you have. Ask Him to deal with the weaknesses you have. Ask Him to deal with every moment of foolishness you've committed and you're paying the price for it. Ask Him to give you faith to know that you are destined for much more than this. You are destined for much more than this. He's not rocking the boat. He's not giving you that weight to break you. He's just trying to teach you how to swim. He's just trying to teach you how to walk on water. He's just trying to reveal himself to you. That before you used to hear about him, now you can see him face to face. His plan is not to give you comfort. His plan is to give you success. His plan is not to just cuddle you. His plan is to make you, to give you wings where you can fly. He has amazing and great plans he has set before you. Don't let anyone, starting you, yourself, take it away from you.